In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the pronouns and the verbs and the subjects and objects of the hymn we just sang. Look at the nouns. We acknowledge God in this hymn as the giver of great blessings. They come from Him. We acknowledge God as the one who gives us every morning all of our days, whose mercies toward us are without end. And for His love, for His gifts, we offer praise. We acknowledge Him as the creator of all things, calling them into being by the power of His word. We acknowledge that we are stewards of His creation, appointed by Him to take care of the things He has given and to use them wisely and properly. We acknowledge that our Savior Jesus Christ, true God and true man, knew in His life the care of friends, of those who loved Him and who provided for Him. And we pray that our deeds of dedication, our recognition of God's good gifts, would lead us to offer love that never ends. Love toward God, who doesn't need our gifts, and love toward our neighbor, who does need our gifts, who does need our good works. The chorus, the refrain, was a prayer to God. Lord, we pray that we, your people in Christ, we, your people who have received the manifold blessing of your unnumbered gifts, would share those blessings with others, and in doing so, may bring glory to the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How different that hymn is from the attitude of the man who came to Jesus in today's gospel reading and demanding of Jesus that he would tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. How different the attitude expressed in the hymn we sang is that of the certain man Jesus speaks of in the parable he tells in today's gospel reading. This man had been blessed by God with a plentiful harvest. His land produced abundantly. And there is not a single hint in Jesus' parable that this man received this abundant harvest with gratitude toward God. He did not receive this abundant harvest and think of it as a gift from God for himself and any family he had, but also to be shared with others who were less fortunate. This man is all about himself. He's focused on himself. Again, he doesn't even so much as mention God. He does not so much as even entertain a thought to share his abundance with those in need. He says, "What shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops." He said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Again, no gratitude toward God. No thought that maybe God had blessed him out of his merciful kindness, but also that he could share his wealth with other people. God has something to say to this man, just as God, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, came to him demanding that the Lord tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. What God says to the rich man in the parable is harsh. What he says to the rich man in the parable is a word of condemnation. It's a word of assessment. Assessment of this man's spiritual condition, of the deficit of his relationship to God. God said to him, fool! And biblically, particularly in the wisdom books of the Old Testament, a fool is someone who lacks knowledge of God, faith in God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, or loving, trusting in God above all things. This man trusted in his wealth. I'm set for life, he thinks, for many, many years to come. Not realizing that that very night his soul, his life would be required of him. That very night he would die. And then, as God continued on, the things you have prepared, and by implication, the things that you trust in, whose will they be then? As the saying goes, you can't take it with you. If you could, there would be no need for wills to distribute an inheritance after we die. Jesus says, this is the way it is with one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? What could Jesus possibly be saying? Not merely to those who are around him, but also to you and me. To be rich toward God is to be the beneficiary, the trusting, faithful beneficiary of God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness in Christ. It's to recognize that above all else that God has given you in life, he has given you his Son as your Savior, his Son to carry your sins on the cross, his Son to bear your guilt away, that you might become a child of God forever. This is your inheritance in Christ, and it infinitely surpasses any earthly inheritance you may have received during your lifetime or in the inheritance you hope to receive in your lifetime. Let's face it, those of us who are younger may never live long enough to receive an inheritance. And even once we do, we don't know if we will live long enough to enjoy that inheritance. Jesus says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that we need in this life will be added to us. Jesus tells us not to be anxious about our lives, what we will eat, what about our body, what we will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing, Jesus says. And life is certainly more than any inheritance we receive. Fear not, little flock, Jesus says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, His kingdom, as an inheritance. So, he goes on to say in next week's gospel reading, because of this, sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Suppose the Lord God had let the man in Jesus' parable live. Suppose the Lord God let him tear down his barns and build larger ones and store all his grain and his goods in those barns. And then that very night, the barns had caught on fire. And his wealth, his provisions, his goods in which he trusted were all wiped away. Do you remember after 9/11 how stock portfolios just kind of plummeted? 401ks plummeted in value. And maybe what some of you had planned for your inheritance evaporated away. That's the way it is with earthly goods. They do not endure. They can be gone in an instant. But one thing that can never be taken away from you is your citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. For in holy baptism, you have been raised with Christ. You now gathering to hear the word of God and to receive the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Well, wait a minute. If Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, how can He be present for us in His body and blood, in the bread and wine of the sacrament? Well, I could go into a long theological explanation of this, but Jesus' human nature shares in the attributes of His divine nature, and sacramentally, His human nature can be present on every altar around the world from which His body and blood are distributed for the forgiveness of sins. Set your minds, therefore, on things above, not on things of the earth as this wealthy man did in Jesus' parable, as this unnamed man did, who came to Jesus demanding that his brother divide his inheritance with him. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For though they are good gifts from God, gifts of His love, they will not endure. They shall pass away. Set your mind on things that are above. For as far as God is concerned, you have already died. You died to this world in baptism, and your true life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Today's epistle reading defines covetousness as idolatry, because to be covetous is to put your trust, to give your allegiance, to give your love to something other than the God who loves you, who created you, who gave you His many blessings, but chief of which of those blessings is the gospel of His dear Son. Be on your guard against all covetousness, for neither your life nor mine consist in the abundance of our possessions. But our true life, which is hidden with Christ in God, consists of this, that we have been purchased at a price, not with gold or silver, but with the holy, innocent, precious blood of Jesus. We are His possession, and He, coming to us in the Word, in the sacrament, is our possession. It's the good portion which will not be taken away from us. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says. My words will never pass away, and neither will those who trust in His words of grace and mercy, forgiveness and salvation, spoken to you this day, and every time you gather to hear the Holy Gospel and receive the enduring and precious gifts of the Gospel. Absolution, Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.